First Years, a podcast for all but geared toward adult first-time readers of Harry Potter, who need a space to enjoy each book and have adult conversations about it. My name is Sarah, and I'm honored that you've allowed me on this journey with you. Crack open a butterbeer, grab a seat, and let's discuss. Today, we're talking about Hermione's loneliness and Hogwarts's lack of security. Welcome, everybody, to episode 21 of First Years. Today, we're going over chapters 13 and 14. But before we get into that, House Points update, Hufflepuff is still in the lead. They earned an extra 10 points because a couple of people tuned into our Instagram Live last Monday where we talked about ghosts and poltergeists. So I'm hoping to do more of those. I'm thinking we'll do it on the off weeks where we don't have a podcast episode. I'm thinking Monday nights so we can sort of chat about our Mindful Magic Monday as well. So the next one is going to be on Monday, the 28th, and we're going to be doing a Patronus deep dive. So you guys send me your Patronuses if you know them. You can DM me on Instagram at First Years Pod. I'll put a post out on it so you can comment on that. Or if you want to send us an email at firstyearspodcast@gmail.com, you can absolutely do that as well. So all you have to do is send me your Patronus. If you don't know it, you can go to the Wizarding World website and take the quiz, and it will let you know. So just let me know your Patronus. I will be doing all of the research on it, and then all you have to do is show up and learn about your Patronus and see how it applies to you or not. I think it's going to be really fun. So that will be on the 28th. I'm still deciding on the time, so stay tuned for that. So for this episode, I think we're mostly going to be focusing on Ron and Hermione, but before we dive into them, I do want to acknowledge that we finally get to see the Firebolt in action. So Harry finally gets to use it in the match. Harry does think he sees the Grim again, but it ends up just being Crookshanks. So thankfully that was just Crookshanks. But the presence of that Grim is still sort of with us, where Harry is getting worried that he thinks he sees it again. But we also get a little bit more of Harry's sass. So just like I was saying in the beginning of this book, that Harry is sort of growing into himself a little bit, he's standing his ground a little bit more, he comes right back out at Malfoy and says, "Pity you can't attach an extra arm to yours, Malfoy. Then it could catch the snitch for you," which I think is such a good burn. And I love sassy Harry. Trust me, we will be seeing more of that as the books go on. But also with Harry sort of coming into his own, he's also starting to notice girls. So Cho Chang is the seeker for Ravenclaw, and he does start to notice that she's pretty. He gets butterflies in his stomach. So we're sort of starting to go there with Harry growing up as well. During this match, we see Harry perform his Patronus that he's been working on with Lupin, which is so awesome, but at the same time, it wasn't actually a Dementor. It was Malfoy and his friends trying to mess with Harry, but thankfully, Harry scared the bejesus out of them and they get detention and points marked off. A win, and Malfoy gets detention. Who could ask for more? So let's dive into Hermione first before we get to Ron. So where we left off last episode was that Ron found cat hair on his bed next to a spot of blood, and Scabbers is nowhere to be found. And this happens like right around the time that Ron is gonna forgive Hermione for ratting on them about the Firebolt. And we talked about Hermione's issues with boundaries and her cat. I feel bad because I feel like I'm not really taking Hermione's side so far in this book. But I think that she is not taking responsibility for certain things. But at the same time, I want to acknowledge that I think she is acting exactly like a 13-year-old would. So when Harry sort of confronts her about it. She says, "Okay, side with Ron. I knew you would. First the firebolt, now Scabbers. Everything's my fault, isn't it?" And I understand why everyone is mad in this situation. But I think also that Hermione probably knows that Crookshanks ate Scabbers, but is so afraid about that possibility that she can't admit to it, or she's so stressed over her coursework that she just can't emotionally do anything but freak out. She does go to the match, but she doesn't participate in the festivities afterward. Harry tries to extend an olive branch, but she's really at a breaking point. She's completely stressed out. She has over 400 pages to read for a class, and Ron won't give her a break, which Harry does ask if he can do. But I think Ron also has a point here, where he says, if she just acted like she was sorry, but she'll never admit she's wrong. And I think this wouldn't be such a big deal if she just apologized to Ron. But at the same time, like I mentioned earlier, I think she's acting exactly like a 13-year-old does. You know, you don't want to be in trouble, and you certainly don't want to be responsible for the death of your best friend's pet, you know? So, like, of course you're going to put it off you and push the blame onto something else, or just completely deny it and not apologize. But one of the sad things here is that, you know, when Ron and Harry go to visit Hagrid, we find out that Hermione's really been suffering during this time, you know? She's been very upset, and Hagrid also brings up a really good point. He says, "I thought you two would value your friend more than broomsticks or rats." So maybe everyone here is in the wrong in some way. And Hermione's been really upset about everything. She has a bunch of work, and then Ron was almost attacked by Sirius Black, and she's upset about that as well. And Hermione, you know, when we started this series together, Hermione wasn't very likable in the beginning, right? Nobody really liked her. Ron and Harry certainly did not like her at all. Everyone thought she was weird, and she sort of inserted herself in certain situations academically where people didn't really want her to. And so I think with Harry, and sort of like how Harry found something within the wizarding world that he didn't have before, I think Hermione also found something that she probably didn't have before with Harry and Ron. And now she lost it. And I think to top that off with everything else that's going on with her, I think that has to be very hard and why she's at such a breaking point right now. It's very sad to think about. But she then makes it worse by threatening to tell McGonagall about the map that Harry has if he goes to Hogsmeade. And I understand the point she's making. You know, Sirius Black just proved that he can get close to them, and Ron isn't thinking about that in this case when he's inviting Harry to go to Hogsmeade. But I think this threat isn't the right way to go. I think she thinks it's good leverage, but at this point, I just think she's digging herself deeper into a hole. Ron, on the other hand, has a scary moment in these chapters where he wakes up to find Sirius Black standing above him with a knife, having slashed the curtains. There's a big commotion, and Professor McGonagall asks Sir Cadogan whether or not he let someone into the common room. And he says, "Yup." The guy had a whole list of passwords. And poor Neville is the one who left his list lying around. But that aside, here's something to question about the security of Hogwarts. So, okay, we know that Sirius Black was in the castle before, and he couldn't get into the common room. This time, he gets let in because he reads the passwords off of a sheet of paper. So, Sir Cadogan has some guy that he's never seen before in the castle, I'm assuming, reading passwords off a piece of paper, which is suspicious, and just lets him in. And it had me wondering, is the portrait able to stop somebody coming in if they have the correct password? Because I feel like this is a giant red flag that someone can just pick up a list and, when it's obvious that they're not student or staff, are still allowed into the common room. But this also begs the question that if Sir Cadogan can't control that, so like if it magically works in a way where as soon as the portrait hears the password, it has no choice but to open, why doesn't he raise an alarm that someone has gotten into the dorm that shouldn't be in there? We have seen that portraits can move from picture to picture. We have also seen that Professor McGonagall must have direct access to come into Gryffindor common room because she was telling them to sort of settle down after the Quidditch match. And also when the commotion is going on, it seems that nobody tells her that all of this commotion is going on. So either she can hear what's going on in the common room, or somebody else warned her, or she has some way of checking up on everything. But if Sir Cadogan was the person who warned her, she would not then have to ask him whether or not he let this man in. So it's very interesting to think about the security in Hogwarts, in general, I guess, but also the security within Hogwarts when there is a killer on the loose that has gotten into the castle before. Something like that definitely should have been reported right away to McGonagall, regardless of if the portrait is magically able to stop someone from coming in or not. So Harry and Ron, despite Hermione's warnings, decide to go to Hogsmeade anyway. And they visit the Shrieking Shack, which is supposed to be the most haunted building in Britain. And Ron says that even the Hogwarts ghosts avoid it. So in our Instagram Live last Monday, we chatted about ghosts and poltergeists and how they are represented within the Potter series. And it is spoiler free, so if you guys are following along with me, it's 100% safe to check out. So one of the questions I posed during that live was, is Hogwarts haunted, yes or no? And one of the participants said no, because they associate haunted places with like bad things, right? And the ghosts within Hogwarts aren't bad. They're very positive, actually. And my research showed that ghosts tend to be connected to a specific place, while poltergeists are attached to like a specific person, right? So, but it seems that within Hogwarts, all of these ghosts can sort of move in and out and aren't necessarily tied to Hogwarts itself. So, if Hogwarts isn't haunted, even though it's a place where there are a lot of ghosts, what in this world consists of being haunted? What's the criteria for a place to be haunted? Are the ghosts different from the ghosts that we see in Hogwarts? And what could be so bad there that the ghosts from Hogwarts, who don't really have anything to fear, don't want to go there? So that is something to think about, and maybe we can do another chat about that. So that's definitely something to think about as we go forward. And I definitely want to hear your thoughts about it for sure. So Harry gets caught without the invisibility cloak for a moment by Malfoy, and he has to sprint back to the castle, and he gets caught by Snape. I probably would have used the map before jumping out of the statue, just to be sure, but you know what? You do you, Harry. And Snape finds the Marauder's map within Harry's possession, but he doesn't know how to work it, right? So insults start popping up on the page, and Snape calls for Lupin to examine the map. Lupin knows it's a map and covers for Harry, so Lupin gets extra points for that. But also, Lupin knows the manufacturers and says they would have wanted to lure Harry out of the castle for fun. So how does Lupin know this? And who are Messrs. Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs? Would they just be able to lure Harry out of the castle? Harry specifically, or were Fred and George at risk as well? But during this whole exchange between Harry and Snape, before Lupin comes in to save the day, we find out more details about Harry's dad. So we've known that Snape hates James so much because he's indebted to him, because James saved his life. But now we have more details. That James and his friends were going to play a prank that would have killed Snape, but James got cold feet at the last minute and didn't go through with it. So James wasn't really saving Snape, he was saving himself. And if we think about this, what does this say about James? James was best friends with Sirius Black, enough that Sirius is Harry's godfather. Sirius Black ends up being a murderer, and James was in a plot/prank to kill Snape. What does that say about him? It seems that there's a theme here of people turning out differently than one expects. Everyone who knew Sirius Black thought he'd never turn to the dark arts. And Harry, who has only ever admired his father, is finding out that he didn't actually save Snape's life in some sort of heroic act. It was out of cowardice? Is that the right word for this? In Snape's opinion, it probably is. Cowardice to not go through with the plan. Selfishness too, probably. But in the end, isn't deciding to save someone's life from something that may kill them better than killing them? Isn't that something noble at the end of the day? Or does it completely depend on someone's motivations? But also, what I think we need to take into consideration here is Snape. Snape probably being an unreliable narrator when it comes to anything to do with Harry and his family. So do we trust him or not? What does it say about James if it's true? What does it say about him if it isn't? And what does it say about Snape if it's true or not as well? We end this section of chapters with the knowledge that Buckbeak is going to be executed because Hagrid lost his case at the hearing. So where do you think we go from here? Let us know at First Years Pod on Instagram or Twitter, or at firstyearspodcast@gmail.com. Our next episode is going to be covering chapters 15 and 16. Please make sure you're following us on Instagram. You can participate in our stories or check out our Instagram lives, which we'll be doing to win house points. You can also win house points by rating and reviewing us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you leave your name in Hogwarts House, you'll get a shout out on here, as well as earn house points toward the house cup that we have every couple of books or so. So I hope to see you guys on the 28th on our Instagram. And if not, I will see you guys next time. First Years is a production of Matchbook. It's produced by Quinn Parker and myself, Sarah Jones-Dittmeyer. All sources can be found in our show notes or on our website at authorsarahjonesdittmeyer.info/firstyearspodcast. That's Sarah with an H, and Dittmeyer is spelled Dittmeyer. Please remember that staying a Harry Potter fan is the biggest form of revolt that you can have, and we are committed to continuing to make this fandom and this community safe and welcoming to everybody.